Sunday night, we read every passage in the book of Matthew that talked about the kingdom of Jesus. The recording CD ran out of room. The clock ran over time. But what I was trying to accomplish with that was to impress upon our minds that when Jesus came into this world, one of the aspects that He talked about extensively while He was here was the idea that God must be the ruler in all of our lives. God is the King. But that God had determined that the way He was going to accomplish this was that He was going to rule through the Messiah. As David commented at the end of our reading of Psalms about the great King, Jesus came into this world and He was and is our King. When we use the word king, a very similar word that we don't use all of the time is the idea of the word Lord. And we often use those in two different sections and in two different ways. But I would get you to think about it from this standpoint. That if you go look up a dictionary definition of the word king, it will talk about a person that has authority and rule and power. But you will be surprised if you go look up a dictionary definition of the word Lord, the way it is used. For it also is talked about as a person that has rule and authority and power. In one sense, they're really talking about the same concept. And that is, they're talking about the people's relationship to Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our King. The ramifications of that are exactly the same in both accounts. We sing number 179. I want you to notice the very opening line. We're going to go ahead and sing this in a second, but I want you to just see how this opens. I become convinced a long time ago that you can sing a lie as easy as you can tell one. In fact, sometimes easier, because we join in and we sing because we love to sing. And we love the music and we love the melody and the harmony and the rhythm. And we get caught up in that and we forget the important part of our singing is, what in the world do the words mean? That through that we are making a statement, we are ascribing unto God. And the statement in this song is, King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. We are making a statement when we sing this song. I shouldn't do this, but I want to challenge you. If you can't agree with that statement, then you ought not sing. But if you are going to sing, then I want you to mean it from your heart. And this is the song that we are going to talk about this morning. Know me, King of my life, I crown Thee now, Thine will the glory be. Lest I forget Thy throne crown bow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget agony, lest I forget Thy love for me.
Lead me to Calvary.
When you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 14, in the middle of that great book that has all kinds of imagery and is difficult for most, it makes a statement that I believe is very easy to understand. When it talks about those that are the enemies of God and enemies of the church, they would make war with the Lamb, that is, the Lamb of God, that is, with Jesus' people. But he says, they shall make war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they also shall overcome him that are with him, called and chosen and faithful. And that's us. If we align ourselves with Jesus, we will have struggles in the world, and there will be those elements of the world that will try to overthrow our faith and the very movement that Jesus started, but it will never succeed. Because the one that is our Lord and our King is King of kings and is Lord of lords. He is. Did you all catch that? We don't really need to debate the definition of is. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. But when the writer put those two together, what I just said in the introduction is what I wanted you to see. Those are not really two divergent statements. Those are not two things that are in different camps at all. They are really the same concept. That when we say Jesus is our Lord, we are saying Jesus is the King of my life. And you all just sang that. King of my life, I crown you now. This is stated again over in 1 Timothy. He said there, I charge thee in the sight of God who giveth life to all and things of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that you keep the commandment without spot and without reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His own times He will show who is the blessed and only potentate. And that's the only time you probably ever use that word. Potentate means supreme ruler. The ruler of rulers. The Lord of lords, the King of kings. When we submit unto Jesus Christ, we are declaring that we agree He is the only potentate. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is my King. He will be my Lord. So we have yet another song that we sing, number 434. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And as we sing this, in verse 1, it's going to talk about they brought the royal diadem and they crowned Him Lord of all. In verse 2, we're going to sing that they crowned Him King, Lord of all. We're going to sing in verse 3, praise Him, King of all. And we're going to do what we've just talked about. We're going to take the word Lord, and we're going to take the word King, and we're just going to put those together, and we're going to put those upon Jesus, and we're going to say, this is my belief. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. He will rule in my life.
No, sir. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown of him out of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and on him lords of all. Ye chosen, head of Israel's race, a ransom from the foe. Hail him, Hosea, by his grace, and on him, Lord of all. Hail him, Hosea, by his grace, and on him, Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial bowl, to him all majesty ascribe, and on him, Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and on him, Lord of all.
He is our King. He is our Lord. What we mean by that is that He is, in fact, the Lord of Lords, all rule, all authority. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. The story that we tell in the Lord's Supper is we recognize that the people rejected Jesus. They took him before the Romans. They condemned him. They crucified him. He died. The interesting thing was they put the little title on the cross, King of the Jews. They didn't realize the truthfulness of that, but it was absolutely true. And they took him down and they buried him, and they thought that is the end of the story. The Jews were jubilant. They had got rid of the troublemaker. The Romans were relieved. They got rid of the troublemaker and the emperor would not be mad. And the disciples were devastated because their hopes had been crushed until that resurrection morning, the first day of the week. And he was raised from the dead and he met with them for a period of some 40 days and he talked with them about the kingdom of God, about the authority of God, about the rule and the reign of God in the lives of the people. And in verse 17 of Matthew 28, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and he spoke unto them saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. When we talk about Jesus as Lord, this is the encapsulated statement of what that means. That Jesus, when He was raised from the dead, He was given not some authority, but He was given all authority, all rule, all power, all dominion, all authority in heaven and upon earth. There is not a place in this earth He does not rule. There is not a person that has lived that does not submit unto Him someday. He is the King of my life. All authority. But the ramifications of that is to make disciples of all nations, and then what you do is you teach those disciples, since He has all authority, you teach them to obey all that He commands. No questions. He's the King. No arguments. He's the Lord. No rebellion because we have crowned Him King of our lives, Lord of all. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wasn't there to hear Matthew chapter 28. But later on, Paul was converted and he saw Jesus. Jesus appeared unto him. Jesus explained through inspiration and revelation unto Paul what this was all about. And notice it says that God wrought this in verse 20 in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And He made Him sit at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And I think we've done a disservice because we have centered on that last part of that. He is head over all things to the church. No doubts, no questions. That's what it says. That is not the limit of His rule and authority and power and dominion. We often make it that. But you cannot read this passage and make it that. For when God raised Jesus from the dead, He set Him at His own right hand. We use that expression. He is my right hand man. What we mean by that is we have set Him there in a position of power and authority and dominion and might. And what He says is the same as if I said that. He is at the right hand of God. He is far above all. And did you catch this? Rule, authority, dominion, power. Wow. How could we say that any greater? If there is any authority anywhere, Jesus has it. Dominion, power, rule. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings, ruler in heaven and upon earth. Jesus is our Lord. He is our King. And when the apostles began preaching this, this is how they preached it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, what he said was, "Let all of Israel know..." I'm going to come back to these in a minute, just I want you to see this. "Let all of Israel know that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified to be Lord and Christ." In chapter 10 of verse 36, he talked about Jesus who is the Christ, Lord of all. In Romans chapter 14, Paul describes Jesus and he said, "He is the Lord of the living and the dead." And again, in the Acts chapter 28, when Paul was left in prison at Rome, it said he lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense. And he welcomed everybody that would come to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did was, he just put those two together. Did you all see that again? It's not that the kingdom is one thing and Jesus is Lord of something else. Jesus has rule, authority, power, dominion. And when we talk about God having rule and authority and power and dominion, the kingdom of God, we are talking about Jesus the King. Jesus our Lord. Now, how did that work? When Thomas saw the resurrected Lord, his reaction was a gut-level reaction of standing in the presence of one with such power and authority. And he simply said, "My Lord, my God." That is a declaration of his conviction of what the resurrection meant to Jesus. That by being raised from the dead, He was declared with power to be the Son of God, to be the King of Kings, to be the Lord of Lords. In Philippians chapter 2, one of the most magnificent passages to talk about Jesus. And it said in verse 7 that Jesus emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, He humbled Himself, became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He is that now. We have the choice. We can say, He's my Lord. Or we can wait until the day of judgment. And on the day of judgment, when we see Him in His glory, every knee will bow. And every tongue will make that confession. Jesus is Lord. Better to make it now. Better to acknowledge what God has already done. He is the Lord. Now, turn back to Acts chapter 2. If y'all had brought your lunch, we'd just study the whole chapter. But since y'all didn't, let me shortcut it. Verse 22 and 23, you killed Him. God raised Him from the dead. Verse 36, when God raised Him from the dead, He made Jesus to be Lord and Christ. He raised Him from the dead and He crowned Him with authority and power and dominion and might and a name above every name, not only in this age, but in any age to come. And that's how Jesus could say, all authority has been given to me. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1. He raised Him from the dead and gave Him all authority and power and dominion and might. And Peter says the same thing in shorthand version. He made Him Lord. But that's what that means. And when they heard that, the next verse, they were pricked in the heart. I mean, that's like taking a sword and just ramming it through. They realized we messed up big time. The one that God has made to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I declared war against Him and I'm going to lose. And being pricked in the heart with fear, with remorse, with understanding, they cried out, men and brethren, what can we do about this? And Peter's answer was simple. Repent. Yeah, you messed up. Yeah, you did the wrong thing. You rejected Jesus. Turn that around. Change your conviction and change your action and change your mind and change your resolution. Change your life. Repent and be baptized. But it's rather interesting. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is, in our being baptized, we simply make this great confession. Jesus is my Lord. He is my King. And that was what He said in Acts chapter 10 when He stood before the Gentiles. He said, God did this and God made Jesus. He is Lord of all. In verse 36. And you know what he told Cornelius to do? Can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in water in the name of the Lord, recognizing the authority of Jesus. We often quote Romans chapter 10 as part of the conversion process. You have to hear and believe and repent and confess. And when we talk about confess, we usually go to Romans chapter 10. And you know what? That's absolutely right. Don't ever quit doing that. But as you see what we're saying, I'm just asking you, think about what we're saying. The truth is deeper than what we have often done. What does the Word say, verse 8? The Word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. What is it, Paul, that you preached? Verse 9. If you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But what is it that they confessed? Do y'all see Acts 2 here? God hath made Him Lord and Christ. Be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so they confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord. But remember what we sang, first song? King of my life, I crown you now. And what we sang in the second song? They brought the royal diadem and they crowned Him Lord of all. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talked about the great kingdom of God, what He said at the end of that is the application of the concept of Jesus being Lord and King. And He said, not everyone that says unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of God. Let me quote my first Greek teacher. Doeth, E-T-H, is one of those ongoing verbs. It's not that you do it and it's done, but it's the person that does the will of God. Not for a day or a year or for the rest of your life. Why? He is my King. I will do what He says. He is my Lord. I will do what He says. And if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, this is what you do. You follow the King. You let Him be the rule and the authority and the power. In Luke chapter 6, He said the same thing. Basically, He said, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's incredible that we can be that hypocritical. That we can stand and proclaim, He is Lord of lords and King of kings, but I'm not doing that. He has all authority in heaven, but I'm not doing that. He gave Him a name above every name, but I'm not following Him. How dare we do that? If He is the Lord, then let me serve Him. Unquestionably, completely. He is King of my life. I crown Him now. So the Apostle Paul taught in Colossians chapter 3, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Y'all realize that has to be a figure of speech. If you did manage to tear up a Bible and put it in a bowl and put some milk and sugar on it and choke it down, It wouldn't be in you long. Fact of life. The idea of the word dwelling in me is not ingesting it physically, but is ingesting the Word of God so that it controls my very thought process, my very actions of life, so that it is no longer my will, but I ask, Lord, what would You have me to do? And He's told us what He wants us to do. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to sing another song, but I didn't. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord. Good song. Scriptural song. This is the Scripture. And because we are God's people, He is our King, He is our Lord, we're going to do exactly what He said. And Peter said in 1 Peter 3, we need to set Jesus apart. He is not common. We will sanctify Jesus as Lord in our heart. And that is a decision that we make. We decide no longer to live for me, but I will live for Him. I don't rule. He rules. I don't make the rules. He's the King. He's the Lord. And if I can't put that into practice, then I'm simply denying what my mouth has said. So back to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. God raised Him from the dead and made Him to be both Lord and Christ. They were pricked in their hearts and they said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in His name for the remission of sins. If you're there, turn down to verse 41. As many as received the Word were baptized. The claim was made. It was substantiated, debated, argued, proven. God raised Him from the dead, and that means He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you know, in spite of that, there were only 3,000 people there that said, okay, He's my King. Now, I always talk about it the other way. I don't know whether you just caught what I did or not. Are you not amazed that there was only 3,000 that obeyed the gospel? They had seen Jesus. They had seen His power. They had seen what He had done. He's now been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. And they still are arguing with Him. And they're still rebelling against Him. But there were some that had some common sense. And as many as received the Word were baptized, and there were 3,000 souls added to the Lord. That's about right, though. In all of the years that I've been preaching, I'm going to tell you what. I decided a few years ago I just wasn't much of a preacher. But then neither was Peter. If by that you mean that all you have to do is preach one lesson and everybody that hears that is going to respond and turn their life around and submit unto Jesus. But there's never been a preacher able to do that. Jesus didn't do that. Because this is the hardest thing in the world to get people to do. And I don't mean to be baptized. When I first started preaching, an older preacher told me one time, said, it's easy to get them to be baptized, just get them to repent. Y'all want to know how to be a millionaire? It's easy. First, you get $1 million. Bad old joke, but you know what? That's how it works. How do you get them to be baptized? You get them to repent. Why would they repent? Because they have crucified the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is coming again. And they will give an account unto the King. And if you've heard that this morning, we have one simple message. Confess the King. Make Him King of your life. Make Him Lord of your life. Bow your knee and submit your life unto the King, and He will confess you and save you, and He will honor you as His people. But you have to believe it with all of your heart. Then you have to be willing to do it and walk with the King daily, submitting. You won't be sorry. Greatest solution to the problem. If you're willing to do that, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you are a Christian and you've wandered away, you need to come back. You need to bow your knee before the Lord again. Confess Him yet again. Apologize for the error and come back and serve Him. If either of those apply to you, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.